Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written and give joke ideas.
Here to keep all these goose going, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. In this week's episode, you better always be prepared. Then we're passionate for a pachycephalosaurus. Finally, is there something scary out in those woods? Then we go on the riff train with Andy and Amy. That's me.
And stick around to the end of the episode for a fun writing prompt so you can write too. With us on the podcast today.
Andy Resch, he, him.
Keely Anastasia, she, her.
Keith Estrella, he, him.
Kenny J, he, him.
Lisa Weitzman, she, her.
Ryan W, he, him.
Tyler Chick, they, she.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. You ready to goof around?
So much so.
I do that.
I might take a little convincing.
I roll perception to see if I can do that.
All right, let me see. It looks like you got a nat 20.
Crit success.
Oh. You're ready to goof.
Oh, you're going to goof.
Oh, I'm so
good.
Ready to. I perceive that I am ready to goof.
That's it.
I see. Mm-hmm. It's goofing time.
Listeners, we're doing D&D jokes right now.
Yeah. Is that what we are doing? Okay. Thanks, Tyler. I appreciate this.
Thanks, Lisa.
I just had a session earlier that four-week session that wrapped up.
Today. So today you had it. Wow. How'd it go? Couldn't. What are you playing?
I was a warrior, a battle master, in fact.
Wow.
Oh, my.
What was your outfit? Did I ask a right question?
What was your outfit?
I was wearing chainmail of a sort. He was a half-orc, so it was probably like real big, right?
Totally.
Sure.
Real big.
Yeah, how
battle
big?
Axe. What's the average height of 7 feet?
Wow.
That seems too big.
There's people that tall.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
That's fair. So I was probably half-orc that tall, too. But, yeah.
So it was 4 weeks? Mm-hmm. Same character for 4 weeks, like 1 4-week game.
Yeah.
We don't have to. You can talk about this another time.
It's so delightful to see you curious about like this thing that I love that you don't know anything about, Lisa.
I know. My son. I told you he plays it. I should.
Okay.
Could pummel him for information.
Pummel him.
I mean, you could.
I just pummel Keith for information.
It's a secret. No. Okay.
You guys want to do some sketches?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Okay. Our first sketch today is titled Prepared, written by
Harrison Merkt.
Delia will be played by
Tyler Chick.
And Rick will be played by
Ryan W.
Interior bathroom day. Rick, he, him, and Delia, they, them, are getting ready for a night out. They both lookin' fly. Delia applies earrings in the mirror. Rick is putting goop in his hair.
Just brushed aluminum everywhere.
Oh, I love when it's brushed. Jen and Gil have the best stuff.
For real, they...
Rick grabs a toothpaste from the counter and puts it in a stuffed backpack. Then puts the backpack on. Delia decides not to say anything. Rick leaves the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like my dream kitchen.
Rick comes back in with a belt in his hand.
Right, but they're not like Lord Farquaad-y. I love it for them.
Right.
Rick takes the bag off, puts the belt in, and puts it back on.
Honey, can we just like for tonight leave the backpack at home, please?
Rick is really offended. Delia pleads from the mirror.
Yeah. Sure.
Rick slumps his shoulders. His mood completely changes and he starts taking everything out of the bag. He takes out a Ziploc bag full of quarters, sighs, then takes out an apron, moans, then takes out a letter, takes it out of the envelope, reads it, sighs, and sets it aside.
Rick, can we please just not make...
I made a promise to the Boy Scouts of America, Delia.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm sorry. Bring the bag.
No, it's fine. I didn't know being prepared was such a bother.
Rick pulls a huge ring of keys out of the bag and throws them dramatically.
That fish tank, too. Who thinks to put a fish tank in a kitchen? Like
an oath, actually.
What?
Well, it was an oath I took, not a promise. I took an oath to the Boy Scouts of America in front of my troop leader and the whole troop. An oath that I would always be prepared.
Rick takes a slingshot out of his bag and places it down gently.
Rick.
With my hand on the Boy Scouts handbook and my other hand on my heart. A solemn oath.
Rick takes a box of bullets out of a bag and dumps them on the ground.
But I guess tonight's the night I break that oath.
Nobody actually takes those things seriously, babe.
Rick takes a travel Monopoly game out of the bag and throws it out of the bathroom.
I think Troop Leader Rick, who had the same first name as me, God rest his soul, would care, Delia. He watched me take my big oath to be prepared, then was found dead in the Trick cereal factory 4 days later, Delia. I know TLR cared, babe.
Rick.
Don't say his name.
I'm saying your name, Rick. I'm talking to you.
Sorry. Right. I'm just kind of in it because of not being prepared for the first time since then. Ugh.
Rick cries and gets a hanky out of the bag and wipes. Delia puts their makeup down, looks seriously at Rick. They step over some stuff from the bag and go sit next to Rick.
Rick. Tricks are for kids.
Rick looks at Delia, tears in his eyes.
Delia, don't.
Tricks are for kids, Rick.
Don't.
Delia grabs the bag from Rick and throws it.
No, stop, don't.
It's not your fault, Rick.
Yes, it is.
Rick, tricks are for kids.
Stop, it's my fault. I told him the night I took my oath that my favorite food was Trick cereal, and he was in there days later trying to get me some fresh, the freshest.
Rick, you were a kid.
I said I loved Tricks, but they were too stale, and I wanted to taste them fresh from the factory just one time. That would make me happy.
Rick pulls a whole blanket out of the bag and wraps it around himself and cries.
You couldn't have known. It's not.
He couldn't have known. He couldn't have known that if he went into the Tricks factory at night and went into the big tub where all the new Tricks are stored to get the freshest Tricks, that all the Tricks that were made that day would dump down from the ceiling and crush you. You can't be prepared for that. There's no Tricks dump schedule.
Delia just looks at Rick. He cries. She keeps looking at him. The moment breaks. He breaks down into tears.
I'm sorry. Tricks are for kids.
I love you.
I love you too. Can I bring my bag still, please?
Delia kisses Rick on the forehead.
No.
Rick takes a box of Tricks out of the bag and sobs as he eats them.
Let's talk about the sketch.
Well, it was like in my head for a while to write a sketch where someone took the like always be prepared oath seriously. And I like had tried to write it a few months before this, and I got to page two of it and was like, this sucks. So I like put it down and then like came back to it probably a month ago and wrote this while I was exercising. And I think once I found the game of like the like side game of like there's so much stuff in this bag, it's impossible it could fit in one bag. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, goof around.
Okay, I'm going to say I think this is my favorite sketch ever on this show. Like,
wow.
It got me so many times. I mean, I love the first, like, really real, very realistic relationships back and forth of, like, just bring the bag. I'll cave this time. No, whatever. And then when you come back to that at the end, it's like the Jedi of the scene where you just like, oh yeah, that's right. The bag is a problem, you know? And I love the resting moves of getting back to that conversation about somebody else's kitchen. It's, but then everything, once it got into the game, watch me take my big oath. I mean, everything was just, it just had such a music, a flow. I laughed a whole lot. So thank you.
Yeah, Ryan and Tyler, thank you both so much.
So great.
Yeah, you killed it.
Oh, I love when it's brushed.
Yeah. I love the passion. I mean, Rick is really falling apart slowly. He's trying not to fall apart, but he does. And then he just loses it all. And it's pretty good. It's pretty darn.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, tragedy plus time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that it's like this game of more ridiculous things coming out of the bag, but then there's like a second act with the whole sequence about tricks.
Yeah.
Like it's a justification, but it's like its own story arc that we get pieced out one little monologue at a time. And as soon as you figure out that it's doing the it's not your fault, it's not your fault thing. Once that kicks in, it's like, bring it home. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, it's almost like the justification is the game, and that gets heightened. And to the extreme of like the details are really what makes this so funny. And the details are what gets heightened. Just so much like textbook, if you're just looking at the structure of the sketch, really very well done.
You even heighten the way he pulls things out of the bag. Like he takes the Monopoly game out and throws it out.
Yeah.
It's like a clown car of a backpack.
Yeah, Mary Poppins.
I tried to have things come out of the backpack in a way that was like most satisfying and from a sound design perspective.
I could. That's fun. I can hear the clank of the Monopoly stuff, you know, as it's being thrown.
I love the idea that Rick and Delia have this conversation every time they leave the house. And I really want to see Rick like going through security at the airport.
Yeah, like in a show, would be so fun to do just a quick callback later. Just a quick like blackout sketch of Rick going through the airport.
Just Rick approaching security the air. Like, I don't even have to see it.
Just next
with a big sigh.
Out.
He'd have a whole bunch of those tubs. He'd keep pulling things out. One more tub, sliding them on the belt. Oh, another tub.
And then say, I guess you're going to ask me to take off my shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the perfect blow for that.
Also, the part where you refer to Troop Leader Rick as TLR. I want to hear TLR a couple more times. And also, I just love how you spelled Delia's name. I really appreciate that.
Right?
Yes, with you're welcome. Multiple silent, often mispronounced vowels in their name. I see you. Thank you. For seeing me.
She feels heard.
I just think maybe Delia could be like, there are other ways to be prepared for situations besides just having things with you.
And like, what are you really prepared for with all of this stuff? Yeah. What is that Monopoly?
What scenario would you need?
The unknown, Delia. Yeah. I'm prepared for the unknown. Yeah.
I guess you've never been bored when you didn't expect to be.
I always think of an all that sketch or a series of sketches called Bag and Sag and Barry. Does anyone remember that?
No, but I like the title.
It's Kenan Thompson, who plays Bag and Sag and Barry at like age 11 or whatever.
Oh my God.
And amazing. So he has real big pants on.
I'm going to write this down.
Anytime he needs something, he just reaches in his pants and he always has it.
I'm afraid that you're just describing my actual life.
The cargo pants.
Yeah. Goddamn right. I mean, the camera is only chest up, but I'm totally wearing cargo shorts.
But the blow of that, of the one I'm thinking of, they were all trapped in a deserted island. And they're like, how are we going to get home? And the next, it cuts to them flying in a jet that he pulled out of his pants.
I said I love tricks, but they were too stale and I wanted to taste them fresh from the factory just one time. That would make me happy.
Our second sketch today is titled Paleo Dating. Oh, we have a new writer alert.
Attention, citizens.
Oh, goodness. Oh, we're doing that. Okay.
We have a new writer alert. Remain in your homes until the writer has passed.
This is a scary one.
If you are in your car, stay in your car.
All right, our new writer today is
Andy Resch.
Alex will be played by
Keith Estrella.
Jordan will be played by
Lisa Weitzman.
And Guard will be played by
Kenny J.
Interior of a natural history museum.
You know, everyone else always wants to go for coffee for a first date. The museum was a great idea.
Oh, yeah. I come here all the time. Which exhibit would you like to see next?
Oh, you do? Okay, then. What's your favorite?
Yeah.
Jordan looks a little embarrassed.
Yeah. The dinosaurs.
Oh, great. Let's go check them out.
Jordan is shocked.
Really? You like dinosaurs, too?
Doesn't everyone?
Not in my experience.
Well, what's not to like? Giant animals that lived millions and millions of years ago. They must have been so majestic. And we can only imagine what they looked like. Skin, feathers, armored plates, horns.
As Alex speaks, Jordan becomes more and more visibly aroused.
Oh, yes. I had no idea you'd be into this. Yeah, babe. Let's go check out those bones.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the false fossilized foxhole. We're going to get tight with the T-Rex. We're going to get randy with a raptor. We're thirsty for theropods, Alex.
You have to be joking. That's not a real thing, is it?
Jordan looks at Alex slyly.
Oh, okay. Theropods don't do it for you. I can dig it. I can get down with the sauropods.
The what?
Sauropods. You're right. They've got it all. Long tails, necks that stretch way out. I definitely get it. I've been amorous for an apatosaur, burning for a brachiosaur.
I don't believe this. I can't fucking believe this.
Hey, it's okay. If you're into something else.
Jordan Jesper's broadly.
I've been coming here for years. I've explored a lot of these exhibits. I've been lustful for leptoceratops. I've been passionate for a pachycephalosaurus.
You're telling me you're into dinosaurs sexually? We met an hour ago, and you think this is a good time to talk about sex with dinosaurs?
Talking about it is the right thing to do. How many times have you gotten unsolicited nudes from some rando Kyresian? Our desires are natural, and talking about them shouldn't be stigmatized. I can understand and accept if you're not into dinos like I am. But let's not pretend that my approach isn't well considered and mature.
I guess you have a point.
Jordan extends their hand towards Alex.
What do you say? Want to give it a shot?
Alex considers and is about to accept, but before they can join hands, the security guard starts shouting,
"Hey! I told you not to come back here, you pervert!"
Jordan looks at Alex apologetically.
I told you I've been coming here for years.
No. Let's talk about
that. Oh my God, you guys, that was so much better hearing it in your voices than in my head. You, Keith and Lisa, you guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Andy. This was fun. Yeah. It was fun, wasn't it, Keith?
I was laughing in the middle of the sketch, so yeah.
Was it fun for you? It was fun for you too? Yeah.
I am so scared and happy about Lisa and Keith's new relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know how to process it all right now.
It's a brave new world for all of us, sketchies.
Yeah.
Is this a thing you guys normally go through where you hear somebody read and it's funnier than when it was in your own head?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I just had that experience 5 minutes ago.
All right. So I had a couple of inspirations. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and you have a regular contributor named Kara. I think her name is Kara Myers.
Kara Myers.
So she said something a couple of podcasts ago about how, what if everybody just wanted to fuck all the time? So
that's her. Yeah.
So that was really the switch that flipped. Do you guys know of a band called Get Set Go?
Yeah, they did
they do a bunch of music for Grey's Anatomy. The front guy, the front man, his name is Mike TV, and he has a song called Paleophile, which is the song is about a guy who just wants to fuck dinosaurs all the time. Which the song is really about this guy is sad that he can't fuck dinosaurs, but that's what he wants to do. So I thought, well, if I made it a sketch, then this guy could try to be convincing other people to fuck dinosaurs. So in my head, I wrote it genderless specifically. Alex and Jordan are, you know, anybody could be named whatever. As a hetero cis white male, like, I know my worldview is a problem, but I wrote it genderless so that anybody could be either character. I realized that boning doesn't require an actual bone.
What a great way to put that. I put
I come here all the time as like the second line of the scene on purpose. I was hoping somebody would pick up on it. And then I repeated it a couple times. I mean, if you can't read the script, you don't know. But and then the rest of it was an excuse to have like, I'm thirsty for Triceratops and, you know, puns. Because puns are great. The initial draft had a longer explanation about Jordan's line towards the end about talking is the right thing to do. There was a longer justification about, well, isn't this like wanting to have sex with animals? Yeah, but animals that are dead already, which just sounded gross.
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference between a dog that's been dead for a week versus a dinosaur that's been dead for 65 million years.
I agree.
So deep.
The other reason that I wanted to leave it genderless is I didn't want to imply that any particular orientation was interested in paleophilia. I don't know.
Cool.
Sure.
That's fair.
Feels like a separate thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the perspective that Jordan wants to have sex with dinosaurs and Alex wants to have sex and is open to the idea of whatever. Alex is not immediately turned off by dinosaurs. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
The other inspiration is that I follow the Reddit subreddits for Tinder and Bumble, etc., to find pickup lines to use on my wife.
Well, that's a good idea, Andy.
Hey, any help I can use?
I've been married for like 140 years.
Today's my 12-year anniversary, so this is what I'm doing.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you!
Happy anniversary!
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I think this sketch is so funny. I mean, the clarity is there. You like really tell us what's up, that this is like a first date, and like, who likes dinosaurs, and like, that Jordan like comes to this museum a lot. Like, you get all that clarity done, and you do it really well. The voice is really strong. I love those alliterations. Great job with the dialogue. You planted your blow. Killer job with that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know anything except from what I've learned from your podcast. What the hell is a blow?
I asked that same question a couple months ago.
So a blow is just what I call the end of a sketch.
Oh, right? Okay.
Like, yeah.
We're out.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like a lot of people call it like a turn or like have a different phrase for it. I will call it a blow just so like, just so it can apply to any big moment.
Yeah.
To get us out of
sense.
It. Yeah,
I've heard you guys say it before. I just wanted the definition.
Yeah, no. Always happy to clarify that stuff.
Sorry, yeah. It took season 2, episode 13, so we finally explained what happened.
Sorry, Sketchies.
I mean, I guess I could have written in.
Yeah, so I really love how you let Alex like get into a little bit before they're like, whoa, wait a second. And I think you can like lean into the fact that like Alex is down but just unsure about this dinosaur thing, like as you go on. And it might let you find some like agreement, but what it also might help you find is resting moves. And what I mean by that is like a moment where Jordan sort of says, and I think that like Jordan's approach is well considered and mature. I completely agree with that. Yes. And that is like so true. But if there's a moment where Jordan sort of like is like, yeah, I'm sorry, like you're right, I got a little heavy handed on the dinosaur sex thing. Let's just enjoy the museum. And then like something else comes along or they see the dinosaurs or like, you know, XYZ, something else happens to make this game like come bubble back up. And then like Jordan just can't help themselves. And we like see it again. I think that a resting move, because you do have some room here. Like, I think you could make it longer if you wanted to. And a moment where we sort of like forget the game and then bring it right back could really let you like fill some of that time.
If you looked at my Google search history, one of the items is how many pages should a sketch be?
The answer is 4.
Well, okay. So 3 is okay, you're right. I have lots of space.
Yeah. I mean, that's
no, and that's okay. Like short sketches aren't bad sketches.
No. I just wondered how much
sketches are.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's get personal.
Yeah. One of the things that I'd heard you give as feedback to other people is try to keep it in one location. So them starting, I only wrote in a natural history museum, and I was thinking in the central area where they could go to any wing of the museum.
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than moving them into, I figured if they were in the room with dinosaur skeletons, Jordan would be like Boner City, right?
Yeah, Boner City for sure. It could be like a little icon, like next to an arrow of a dinosaur. You know, it could be like a kid that's just gotten a stuffed dinosaur and is leaving, or like, you know, you could definitely find a way to bring a dinosaur into that space if you want to like find a way to. And sometimes our resting moves bring us to a place where, like, our game organically comes back up.
I was thinking for a resting move, you could even have use Alex a little bit to maybe Alex has a brochure that says, like, oh, they have, like, an ancient African warrior's art or something that gives some details, some specifics. But Alex could try to, like, change the subject a bit and maybe move to a different part of the museum or attempt to move to a different part of the museum. And that's when you can rest it and then bring it back to. Just think of maybe museum specifics or things that might happen in museums that could give you some pause. And then it gives it room to like get bigger and heighten, you know, so you're starting out just like teasing a little bit with the dinosaurs. Jordan's just testing the waters to see whether or not Alex is receptive. And I think by putting Alex in to say, maybe even say out loud, like, I'm into you. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with all this. Like, I do want to have sex with you would be a good perspective for Alex. But like, I'm just not sure what's going on.
And the phrase, a menage a triceratops, popped into my head.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yay.
Yes.
I'm talking about the false fossilized foxhole.
All right, are we ready for our third sketch today, everybody? This one is titled Campfire 2, written by
Tyler Chick.
Molly will be played by
Keely Anastasia.
Kelsey will be played by
Amy D.
Jason will be played by
Keith Estrella.
Daria will be played by
Brian W.
The voice will be played by
Harrison Merkt.
And Brent will be played by
Kenny J.
Fade in, exterior, clearing in the woods, night. Some kids sit around a campfire. Molly, 11, she, her. Jason, 10, he, him. Brent, 13, he, him. Kelsey, 11, she, her. Brent pokes the fire and moves the log, and the flames pick up. Molly is telling a scary story.
But when they all looked up, it wasn't a bird at all. It was 7 feet tall, in the shape of a human, with big, dark wings and glowing eyes. And that's how my dad found out the Mothman was real.
Everyone reacts. Jason is shaking.
Whoa, you okay, bud? You're shaking pretty bad. Are you scared of the Mothman?
What? No. I've barely even seen the Mothman, so why would I be scared of him? I'm just cold. This is shivering.
But it's summer.
It's not that complicated. The front of me is so hot from the fire that the back of me feels cold.
That is not how that works. But wait, you've seen the Mothman too?
I said he barely talks to me, and I don't think about the words because I don't know what language it is, and I don't talk about them with my therapist, Caitlin.
No one said any of that, but it's okay to feel scared sometimes. Even brave knights get scared, my young squire.
I know that, but I'm not. So can we make s'mores and stop talking about it?
Brent tosses the bag of marshmallows to Jason, who picks up a stick and starts to roast his mala. After a few moments, there's a deep, scary voice from the woods. It's nonsense and equal parts silly and menacing.
Me sub little bop dee do bop dee do dee dee dee.
Everyone freezes.
What the junk?
A beat.
Hey, Jason.
Jason doesn't notice Molly and is shaking harder. His mallow is fully on fire.
Squire!
Jason hears her now.
I'm cool. I'm fine. I got real cold back right now, but I'm good.
Brent slowly leans over and blows out the flaming marshmallow.
Are you, though?
I told you! I'm going to be a brave knight like Molly. I'm not scared of a Mothman, and I didn't hear my mom tell somebody over the phone that I'm not handling divorce well.
Rub de knock de candy soup, peep.
Everyone gasps and stands. They turn around, scanning the darkness for wherever this voice is coming from. Brent wields his poker stick and grunts.
Steady on, friends. Hold your tongues and maybe it'll leave us be.
They all exchange glances, then look out into the dark. They listen to the night insects and the crackle of the fire. Otherwise, it's totally silent. Something huge flies overhead. Everyone screams in surprise. Jason's scream is long and loud and he pees in his pants.
Squire... Listen to me. We're all a little scared, too. It's okay. You don't have to pretend to not be scared with us.
But I'm not, though. I'm handling it well.
You peed in your pants, bud.
Jason looks down at his wet pants.
I did not because my front was so cold, but my back was too hot from the fires, so the front of my pants got really sweaty.
I think you said that wrong.
It's just sweat. It's not pee because of being terrified.
Enough of this. Whoever is out there, it's time for you to show yourself. I warn you, this clearing is protected by powerful magics.
After a beat, normal sounding footsteps crunch through the leaves, and Daria, nine, she, her, emerges with Hot Dog Dog, a cute mutt wearing a cape. Everyone laughs in relief.
Daria! Sorry I didn't walk with you.
It's okay. I was nervous to go alone, but HDD was a perfect escort.
Hot Dog Dog barks.
Girl, that was amazing. You timed all of those weird voices perfectly.
Everyone laughs.
You really got me. I've gotten so used to weird stuff happening, I really believe the Mothman was coming to get us and I don't even know
what. Oh, I didn't do that. We just got here. We didn't see a Mothman either.
Hot Dog Dog barks.
Right. We did see Bad Boy. He was very rude, but no Mothman.
Jason looks like he's about to cry and turns back towards the woods. There are new sounds. Something big.
Jason, Molly, Brett, Kelsey, Daria.
Daria steps forward.
Show yourself. By order of the queen.
The big sounds get closer, moving through the trees. It's real suspenseful. Then, lo and behold, a Mothman walks out of the woods and spreads his wings wide.
Mothman!
Jason is shaking, but he steels himself and walks toward the creature. Everyone watches him, wide-eyed.
What? What do you want? Why do you keep coming to my window and saying all that junk at night? My mom is on the phone with her new friend, Brenda.
The Mothman's eyes glow, and he slowly lowers his wings. He speaks slowly and deliberately, struggling to form sentences.
I'm sorry. I'm bad at people talk. I just want to be friend because I also grow up broken home.
Hot Dog Dog barks.
You right, Hot Dog. We not so different.
Jason tears up and goes up to the Mothman and gives him a big hug. Mothman hugs him back.
Aww.
Everyone goes over and joins the hug.
I wasn't scared of no Mothman. I thought it was the Bat Boy all along.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that sketch.
I've been playing with this like little series about these kids in the 80s, or I guess, yeah, late 80s, I guess, and putting them in like supernatural situations, more or less. And the first version of this, it just didn't feel like a sketch to me. And I wasn't really sure what there wasn't like a real clear game. And it was more just like a little story. So when I decided to go back to it, I was like, all right, I kind of have to scrap everything except like maybe like the rhythm of it and like choose a new thing to play and sort of reframe everything that way. So I decided to focus on Jason being scared and wanting to convince everyone that he's not scared. And then I just sort of found the background behind. I tried to incorporate as many of notes from before as I could, but also change how the Mothman voice stuff was working. And I don't know, I'm still not convinced that this is like the final form, but I'm interested to see what people thought about it. That's more or less what happened.
I like what you did with the Mothman voice. Anytime you do these kids in this world, I'm like, yeah, this like voice, this world, the like background of all this is so strong. I love that you used Jason's embarrassment to like create like, you know, a full-fledged game sketch feeling environment. I think that like Jason game is very strong. And like for most of the sketch, like your core of like what your funny thing is, you also have like the Daria thing and Hot Dog Dog and the voice, obviously. And like they all come together at the end and are like, you know, in a satisfying way, resolve each other. So like having multiple games like that's like dope when you resolve it like that. I think the like the fact that it doesn't end with this like sweet moment with Mothman being like, Jason and I are the same, and it actually ends with like this reminder that Brent's been standing there saying nothing the entire time. it like really gives you this like, it just gives the audience this like reminder of like, oh yeah, this is like a fun sketch.
I really like how in one line you get a bunch of information. Mm. I said he barely talks to me and I don't think about the words because I don't know what language it is and I don't talk about them with my therapist, Caitlin. So you get like all this information about what's going on and poor Jason's life. And I would, I'm glad to hear you're writing other stories with, well, I read another story with these characters. They get like real. I mean, kids, parents do get divorced. They do get scared in the dark. Yeah, I really like.
And the Mothman does just want a hug.
And the Mothman just wants a hug.
It's,
you know,
the realest part of all.
I had a thought. First of all, I just wanted to say, I can't get enough of these characters. My first note was Jason's reaction that first takes it back to like a resting move before we hear the gibberish where he says, I know that, but I'm not. So can we make more s'mores and stop talking about it? what hit me there was that it was very real of what a child would do. Mm-hmm. They do that to me all the time. Can we just stop talking about it? I don't want to talk about it anymore. So it's very realistic. And I really liked that. And it was such a great way to get back to the rest so we can get back, you know, so then we can introduce the voice of gibberish. The other thing I was thinking was like, I really just want to see maybe a bit more details, a little bit longer to a point of almost ridiculousness, discussing Jason's trauma, divorce therapy stuff going on. Just kind of hit that a little harder because I think that's what's funny, but also real. And I don't know. I think I feel like that's kind of the game, a little bit of a sub game. And I just think it'd be fun to have a little more of like where you can really get specific on some of the details. You did it a little bit, but I think just like a little bit more would be so much fun, you know, just whatever's going on with the mom's new friend, Brenda. I don't know. Just like the hints there, just go a little bit more specific. Maybe she's, yeah, you know, buying a new kind of wine or whatever.
Yeah.
Or just fun. Just play with it.
Especially in the way you were doing it too, where it's like, mm-hmm, saying that stuff's not happening. Like, yes, like, and I don't think my parents are getting divorced because I lost my canteen and they got in a fight.
Yes. Very childish stuff too. It's good.
That's a good detail. I like that. Yeah, I don't think it's my fault at all.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to Caitlin about it also, and yeah, she didn't tell me that it wasn't my fault.
Because I didn't need to hear that.
And she didn't hold me while I cried, and I didn't ask if that was allowed.
Yeah, that's good.
Mostly we just talk, and she tells me I'm really well balanced and don't even need to be there.
I'm not scared of a Mothman, and I didn't hear my mom tell somebody over the phone that I'm not handling divorce well.
What's that? I think that's the Rift Train.
That's right. It's the Rift Train. All aboard now. You heard correctly. Well, what did you think it was, though?
I said I thought it was the Rift Train.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you said something. Okay. I was worried for a second. I was like, does the Rift Train sound good today? Or
Don't worry.
Does it sound like an ice cream truck?
I hope not.
You have no ice cream.
I'm a proud man. I pride myself on the way that my Rift Train sounds. Anyways, all aboard now. We have a new passenger attempting to climb aboard here. Passenger Andy, is it? Spectacles here.
That's me.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what you got, kid.
How do you feel about aliens?
Oh, I feel absolutely great about aliens.
So, an unspecified number of weeks ago, one of Harrison's assignments was to write a sketch about an office.
Mm.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea that popped into my head was someone interviewing for a job with an alien invasion force. An alien
position.
Oh, an alien interviewing.
An alien. The interview room is a normal human interviewing for a job with some kind of non-human entity that spoke with a normal human voice. And the only thing I could come up with was the end of the interview where the alien asks, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the human answer is whatever. Like, hey, I have your job. And the alien is like, well, I was really looking for on an asteroid mining colony, or we would have also accepted debt.
I like that.
The question, where do you see yourself in 5 years, I think is so solid because it lets the rest of the interview just be like a normal interview. You know, like if the alien is like, so what do you bring to an invasion force that would like hopefully enslave humanity?
In theory, in my head, they've already enslaved humanity and this person is just trying to get on board.
Oh,
that's okay. I would love answers of like, well, I'm like pretty good at Photoshop.
If I see an empty coffee pot, you know I'm going to start another pot. I don't care what time of the afternoon it is. I know my place.
And the aliens are like, we can't metastasize caffeine, so I don't know why we would have coffee.
Well, Cheryl's been drinking it, so you might want to see what her metabolism is doing these days. She
and
might
you know what, you're right. I'd say my biggest weakness is actually that I take too much initiative.
Yes. If, you know, if they're not drinking coffee, they drink something else, and he puts together their, you know, hubba juice.
Or human blood.
Human blood, yeah.
You're interviewing with a company that literally consumes you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, that might get too real.
I mean, he'd be willing to go milk the humans.
No, I've never milked a human before, but I'm a really fast learner. I got a lot of initiative.
I noticed that a lot of people don't like to change the fuel cells. And let me tell you, I can take more, I can be exposed to more radiation than you think I can.
I can lift a lot of dark matter.
And hey, don't forget, I'm a human. I'm expendable, right?
Yeah. I've got no family. I will live at the office. Yeah.
I got no family because you killed them.
Yeah. But that's freed me up to really pour my heart into my work.
Praise be to Schmork.
Killed my family, blew up my work. The writing was kind of on the wall. It's time to make a change.
I've been doing dead end job after dead end job.
You're interviewing with a company that literally consumes you.
Pastor Eddie, you got some spunk. I like
that. Okay. Okay, now. Calm down, Riff.
Don't tell me to calm down, Engineer Amy.
I got a
promotion,
guys.
I love that.
Wow. I'm excited for that hat that I get to wear.
You get to wear the hat if you stop telling me to calm down.
All right.
That's the rules.
I can follow that rule.
No.
Your promotions are dependent on you not telling Keith how to do his job. Yeah.
That's a healthy train environment.
Hey, look, you know, when you're proud of something that you've built over the course of two seasons, I mean 20 years. You get a little, you want more out of it.
I'm proud of the idea that I have to bring to you today.
Yes. Yeah. Engineer Amy is also the passenger.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Here's my idea. All right. A 1950s style housewife has a serious breakup with a real horse she's been having an affair with.
It's been amazing. Well, we have to cut it off. I have children with Ron.
Don't look at me like that.
Is like the horse in the bedroom with
no they're in the kitchen like I pictured them in the kitchen or, okay. Like he's got to sneak out the back door.
Okay,
so does the horse like clop over to where she has pictures of their family and just knock it over?
The horse does that now. Yes, thank you for that idea. He's just like,
Windsong, you knew what this was when we started. Windsong.
Wait, does the horse have a long name like those thoroughbreds in the Kentucky Derby?
Oh yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Or
I'll
like Google like that. a three named hyphenated.
You only blink twice.
I think the children love the horse because he gives them horsey rides. And he's, you know, that's part of his argument. Yeah. If I leave, you know, who's going to give the kids horsey
rides?
Yeah,
you're great with the kids, but you're not their father.
Yeah, she's going to be making all of the arguments for him. I know this. Yeah. You're, you know, she gets to verbalize all the things that the horse's gestures.
The horse just does something and then she has to respond to the argument.
She, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but I know what you're thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like any gesture the horse makes, she knows what that means.
I'd love it if we don't see the horse for
that's a good little
portion at the beginning.
Where she just goes through like a little diatribe of like drama and typical 50s style.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it like cuts over and the horse is there.
Yeah,
with
like
her.
Pan out to there's a horse she's talking to.
And we just see the horse's butt as he leaves. Go, go. And they finally cut to them.
Get out of here.
The tail swings. Big horse butt out the back door.
That could be the blow as the husband comes home and goes, what's this?
Again, Nancy.
A horse feces again? Is there anything about like, oh man, we spent so much on apples this week. Oh.
The husband is holding a paper.
Seven packs of apples.
Apple prices. Oh, could there be a thing like the husband is there and just totally doesn't notice that she's having an affair with a horse?
That'd be
And he just keeps being like, honey, my coffee's empty.
She's trying to sneak the horse out.
He's just hidden behind. He goes to put sugar. The sugar cube bowl is empty because the horse ate them all.
Yes. Braying majestically doesn't put food on the table.
I'd love if like the reason she started having like she came to this conclusion is like she watched like Spirit or like Red Misty of Shukatigue and was like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I'm holding you back from being your true wild self. And then she throws in all the husband stuff too. Yeah.
You said you wanted to be a war horse.
And where would we go, huh? It's so simple to you.
In your stable.
In your stable.
You know how horses do those like horse shivers? You know?
Oh yeah. Right.
Well, I would just love if this horse did that and she was like, don't you tussle your hair at me.
Yes.
You know what it does to me.
Yeah.
The horse like nibbles on the edge of her dress. She's like, not now. I'm trying to have a serious conversation.
Oh,
the
horse still doing normal horse.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
I want.
Yeah. There's no way to interpret anything. Yeah. Intentional, and there's no intent from that horse.
That is the greatest. The horse is just doing horse stuff. Yes.
No, yeah. No, don't read me your poetry right now.
I think that's a good riff.
Now we're stopping off at assignment station. The assignment for this week is control. You can think of that as like somebody who likes to be in control and is losing control. You can think of that as somebody who's like operating a roller coaster. You can think of that as somebody who like needs to be able to like teach somebody stuff. Like maybe they just need to teach somebody how to swim and the kids are trying to play. There's a whole bunch of different things with control. Think about the people in your life who you think love control and like what you feel about that. Think about moments where like you felt out of control. That's the assignment for this week. Control. All right. It's time for writer's plugs. Tyler, anything you want to plug?
Yeah. So listeners, if it is before November 7th, 2021, when you listen to this podcast, please go to theaterharrisburg.com. And check out the showtimes for SpongeBob the Musical.
Which character or characters are you?
I play Patchy the Pirate.
Yeah.
Well. Are you ready, kids?
Cool. I'm going to plug Sketchy Sketch Sketch School. Check out our website. Check out the classes we're running. We got Amy's in-person level 1. We got my online level 3. We're going to be running workshops on podcast editing and video production and specific stuff about sketch writing. So check those out at our new website. Amy, anything you want to plug?
Based on how much fun we had today, I'm going to plug our Patreon page because I think people need to see how much fun we had. Because it was delightful. And two, I'm going to plug fanny packs and tool belts. I had no idea how a tool belt is so useful. I can pull out my tape measure and my hammer and my little pneumatic nail gun and just keep it all there. And it's amazing. So I'm going to plug both of those things.
Is there a connected place maybe you'd like to plug based on the work you're doing with the tool belt?
Oh, I would like, I would like to plug Hops and Hatchets, a new axe throwing fun place in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Wow. I put up a lot of walls and you should throw axes at them.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Find them on
what are we going to do
Facebook,
with all these walls?
Instagram. I know. Let's do it. Woo! Hops and Hatchets on all social media things that you look at. Well, bye, friends. That's all for us today. Thank you to all the participants. We've loved having you. And thank you to Jeff Powers for the music he wrote for this that you've heard on this show. Also, a big thanks to you, listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more than we have to offer, why don't you just head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
And while you're there, check out our Patreon and our classes. You can get all our merch or you can learn from us, whatever you want to do. And maybe you're like, hey, wait, I'm funny. I want to put a sketch on the show. You can send your sketch to sketchysketchpod@gmail.com and we'll get it on the show.
You can also reach out to us via our internet website or email. And if one of the sketches you've heard sounded really funny to you or you had a great idea, you want to give some love to the writer, please do so on our website. There's a place for all those things.
And as always, if you like what you heard today, please tell your friends, check us out on socials, take our classes, subscribe, give us 5 stars.
And 5 high fives if you see us in person. We love high fives. Or
we want all 5 of those high fives.
All 5. Woo.
Don't give us 2 high fives.
No.
Don't give us 3 5 fives.
Don't go for 6 because we'll be tired. And
yeah,
my
that's
hand
too
might
much.
Get hurty.
I'm going to have to go to sleep after 5.
I know. Woof. Nap time. Well, that is all for us. We better go take some naps. So
nap
y'all.
Time.
Just enjoy your naps, get cozy, put on some soft music and some candles, and take a nice little nap today.
Thank you very much.